radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Well, California starts the month out high and dry with no rain in sight, at least till mid-month. We're going to look ahead to the month of February, and we're basing this forecast on the La Nina weather pattern that's setting up in the eastern Pacific Ocean. We have slightly cooler than average ocean temperatures, and that usually means that the southern tier of states, from central California through the desert southwest into Texas and the Gulf Coast, should be about average or normal through February. The southeast and Florida should be above normal in temperatures through February. And now we get to the east and northeast, which should be warmer than average for most of February. The northern tier of states and the Pacific Northwest will be cooler than normal as well. Again, this is all based on La Nina conditions. We'll take a closer look at things out west in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes, only on Sterling at Night.
All right, we have extra weather reports tonight because of the insane storm conditions. It isn't a polar vortex, it's winter. This is called winter. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live on Sunday. We have complete weather for you constantly, because that's what a radio station should do. The shame of radio stations that don't have live weather reports on a night like this, I don't really know how they can live with themselves. More importantly, I don't know how they keep their license. I don't know how they keep their license. It's an embarrassment. It's 8 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling, and I've got Mike Turner. Mike Turner, welcome. Mike Turner is at a very important, special, almost sacred event. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great tonight. How are you doing?
Well, I'm better now that I'm speaking to you, because I believe that you are tapped into the truth of the universe. I believe that you are tapped into the information that we need most. You are among a group of very elite broadcasters, far more elite than anybody I work with on any given day. The people I work with on any given day are an embarrassment to American broadcasting, an embarrassment. But what you do is important. You are a ham radio operator, and you're at a conference in what, Arizona? And at that conference in Arizona, how many other hams are with you?
Well, we're out here in the desert with about 580, 600 other ham radio operators right now.
Now, in order to become a ham radio operator, this is a person who has their own transmitter in their home, their own call sign in their home, the ability at any moment to push a button and broadcast to the world, to the entire world. To become a ham radio operator, what do you have to do, Mike Turner? What do you have to do?
You know, you're absolutely correct. We could turn on the radio anytime and talk to anybody anywhere else in the world who has another ham radio operator. There's three different levels of test. There's a technician, general, and extra. After about 20 years, I successfully passed my extra test, and I'm now a extra licensed ham radio operator. So I'm as high as you can go on the privileges that I get.
How good that must feel to know that you've worked hard to achieve a standardized license. There's no fudging that license, is there? You have to get it right.
You're right. And like you said, it's a very elite group of people who, you know, you got to go through and you got to take the test. You can't just pick up a radio, you know, like you go to Walmart and buy a radio and you start talking on it. You got to know, you know, things about frequencies and antennas and wavelengths and all this other propagation stuff that goes along with it. So it's really pretty complex.
Mike Turner, I know you sit in your home, you have an antenna next to your home, and you can get signals from around the world. What is the furthest distance you have received on those CQ cards? What is the furthest distance you've received?
Well, just recently here in Quartzsite, we talked to South Africa. I think it was 9,000 miles away.
That's incredible, isn't it? And what was the message? What did you hear? Was it a conversation, or did you just pick up a conversation?
No, it was a very quick and brief conversation. He knew we were out here in the desert. He was trying to get a hold of someone to see if he could reach us, and we successfully completed it. It feels good on both ends when not only can you talk to him, but you can actually hear him as well.
I've always had great romance with the idea of being a ham radio operator, to be able to sit in my bedroom, to be able to sit in my basement, and to be able to broadcast and to receive. And actually, even though I can sort of guess where the signal's going and sort of guess where it's coming from, the fact is that I don't know. There's a randomness to it that I find very sexy. Is that about right?
Yeah, it would be. And things change. You know, a signal that you hear at night, you might not be able to hear during the day. You know, when different levels of the atmosphere come together and get thicker, your signals can bounce off that atmosphere and travel longer. So there's a lot of science to it, but you're right. There's a lot of romance to it as well.
I had one really bizarre signal issue once, and it wasn't with a ham, it was with AM. I'll tell you what happened, and radio guys don't believe me. I was in the Pocono Mountains in August, when the atmosphere was thick and low. And I'm listening to AM radio, and I start to hear, and this weekend at the Marconi Pavilion. And I'm like, what? This weekend coming up at the Marconi? It was from San Francisco. No one had ever heard of signals coming over the Rocky Mountains at night to the Pocono Mountains from San Francisco. That was amazing. And but usually you at night, usually you can get them from, I don't know, 100, 150 miles away on a summer night. But you're talking about signals coming from around the world.
That's a pretty fascinating story. It really is. You know, when we're out here, you know, sitting in our RVs in the desert out here in Arizona, you know, we scan the dials and we sit in. We listen for, you know, anything odd that may be like that. Because even out here in the desert, we're really close to the human moving ground.
When it's miserable and cold outside, you want to be able to crash on your bed on a comfortable pillow, blankets, sheets. You want to be able to be engulfed in warmth and comfort and safety. Safety. And one way to have everything you want in a bed is to buy a MyPillow brand pillow. Because the MyPillow brand pillow is super comfortable, but most importantly, you can wash it. Think about the last time you washed a pillow. That didn't go well. They never dry right. They smell funny. But the MyPillow brand pillow is made to be washed. It is filled with a patented material made in the United States of America. You put it in the wash. Smells beautiful when you take it out. You put it in the dryer, it takes its shape, it holds its shape, you put it on your bed, you crash on it, and all night your head stays cool and it keeps its shape. That's the pillow we dream of. 800-844-0876. Call them up. Find out about every single product that they make. The mattress topper, the blankets, the sheets, and the MyPillow brand pillow. Now, if you say, Walter, on this phone call, if you call them and say, Walter, you will hear about a price drop unknown in retailing. It goes from $69.99 to $19.99 for a MyPillow brand pillow. This is a premium pillow made in the United States with a 10-year warranty. A 10-year warranty. 800-844-0876. Pick up the phone. Call them. Is somebody there now? Right now. Looking forward to speaking to you at this hour of the day. And this day of the week, 800-844-0876, a MyPillow brand pillow.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
When I imagine what a fruitcake was, I imagine it, that the fruit would look like fruit, that the cherries would look like cherries with stems in it, and that the cake would be spongy and yummy and have a great aroma. That never was the case. However, now, with leafletonline.com, a seminary that sells fruitcake that matches your imagination about fruitcake. Right, fruitcake that is the fruitcake you imagine. Spongy cake, real fruit, bouncy fresh fruit. It's spectacular. It's great. Why not? You can get a 1 pound size or a 3 pound size. Go to leafletonline.com. I don't know why they have such a bad website name. Terrible name. LEAFLET. leafletonline.com. leafletonline.com. Go there, put in my name, Walter, get a nice discount and a really terrific fruitcake.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Jerry Springer.
Well, Jerry, can you hear me?
I can't hear anything.
Sterling at night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Now, another vigorous storm to move into the Midwest by midweek. St. Louis and Kansas City will start out the week with temperatures in the 50s tomorrow and Tuesday. Then we'll get some showers moving in, and those showers will turn to snow by Wednesday night. Dallas, Texas goes from highs in the 70s tomorrow and Tuesday to highs in the 20s Thursday and Friday. Now, Wednesday is Groundhog's Day. Punxsutawney Phil, the nation's groundhog, will have to dig out of some snow in Pennsylvania. That's about 84 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. And he's going to tell us on Wednesday morning if we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. If he sees his shadow, that's the forecast. I don't know with the storm moving into the Midwest if he's going to see his shadow, but that's for Punxsutawney Phil to forecast. Temperatures are going to be cooler than average in the northern tier of states for the foreseeable future in February, and we'll talk more about that in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes here on Sterling Every Night.
Imagine you're a dad and you take a day off work and your kid skips a day of school and y'all take the boat out and go fishing in the middle of Lake Stella and you find a carcass. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Oh, sorry. Mike Turner is an expert on ham radio operations, but I bet he's also an expert on something that they all know about and very few of them talk about. I believe that Mike Turner is an expert on number stations. Number stations. Number stations are stations that are around the world that broadcast just numbers and mysterious sounds. That's all they do. Numbers and mysterious sounds. I have one here. Let's see if we can get it to play. Of course not. Why would it work? Wait a second. Yeah, should have played. All right. The number stations, which are shortwave stations. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here again.
Okay. So Mike Turner is an expert on ham radios. He's at a convention with 600 other ham radio operators and with James Copeland, who is king of the hams. Now, around the world, there are shortwave radio stations called number stations. And these stations put out numbers and strange songs. They put out very unusual tones in a random fashion. And they have been around at least since World War One. Is that about right, Mike? Have I got that right?
Well, you know, we listen to a lot of things on our ham radio, and we're always spinning the dials, always trying to figure out what's out there, because truth is, we really don't know. And I can't say I'm an expert on number stations. I mean, you know, I don't know if anyone's really an expert on number stations. But we do know they exist.
Right, and you're right. Nobody is an expert. But I have a theory about number stations. My theory is different than most people. Most people say this is how spies communicated with each other, using code and having a code pad. And I'm like, that seems like an awful lot of effort for spies to talk to each other. They could pick up the phone. We have encoded cell phones. There were encoded real phones at one time. to put up a transmitter in the middle of the Pacific and send out coded messages that may or may not be heard, that not only seems like a lot of work, but it also seems like it might not work. Somebody could die because they didn't meet their point of contact as a spy. Therefore, I believe that number stations are not spy network stations. And they always point out the fact that the transmitters, the transmissions from these spy stations increased at certain points in the Cold War and then back down, but they've never stopped. They have never stopped. In fact, there was a 3-episode arc on Fringe about the number stations. I don't think that's what they are at all. This is my theory. See what you think, Mike.
I hear that. It's the scary thing about number stations, and this is the most scary thing, and as a radio host, any radio host knows that radio is a great way to reach mass. So instead of, picking up a telephone and calling, one spy or another spy and doing that, using transmitters, you could talk to 20, 30, 100 people all at the same time. You imagine if there was just something significant enough, you would have to communicate it to 100 different people at the same time or maybe a whole country at the same time. Transmitters are a great way to do that.
Right. But that's not what I think they are. This is what I think they are, because as best I know, through triangulation, no one has ever found a number station. They've never found the point of origin of a number station, have they?
That's true.
Right. So no one's found the point of origin of a number station. This is what I think they are. Number stations were heard when the first radios existed. When they first started going up and down the dial of the first big AM radios, they heard number stations. In the 1920s, they heard number stations. This is what I think they are. This will scare you, but I believe this is true. When you build a castle on the beach, no matter how big the castle, no matter how complicated, the next day when you come to the beach, it's gone. It's wiped out. You think, oh, this will last overnight. They never do. This Earth has been here a billion years, billions of years, and our existence on Earth has been maybe 12,000 years long. That's about it. Our ability to perform technologically has been about 10,000 years long. I believe the number stations were here before the dinosaurs. I believe they've been here for millions of years. They've been sending out signals for millions of years. They are markers from a civilization from millions of years ago. Now, the people putting out those signals may be long gone, but the information is still coming out of those signals and powering who knows what. Who knows what? Now, Mike Turner, what was the big event at the Ham Radio Operators Convention this year? What was the big event?
I think the biggest thing, we're talking about radio signals and stuff like that, would probably be our jet. Try to make sure this contact, radios complete.
Hey, Mike, I don't know what the heck's going on with your phone, but we're doing good for a while, and now we're not doing so good. Did you move? Did you turn? Can you do something to help that?
No, I'm in the same
place.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting that we talk about signals, and the phone's just that, it's a signal, it fades and comes and goes, and interesting.
So what was the big event at the convention this year?
I think it was our DX station, or our distance station. We have antennas that we can beam the signal in a certain direction, and we try to get the furthest contact and see how far we go. And like we said, we have we reached all the way to South Africa, 9,000 miles. And that's pretty spectacular to say that you succeeded in doing that.
Yes. If I want to set up a ham radio station in my home, I know enthusiasts are crazy and they can spend crazy amounts of money, but what's a reasonable amount of money to invest in this?
I think bare minimal, if you want a halfway decent station, you're probably looking at $15,000 to $2,000 between the transmitter and the antenna.
$1,500 to $2,000, that's not crazy.
It's not. It's not bad at all. You know, you got to pay a little bit to take your license. And then once you have your license, you have it for, you know, 10 years to renew it, just like your driver's license you would. And you continue to talk on it as long as you renew it.
Well, listen, you're a good guy. How could somebody get in touch with you? Do you have a website or an email address, Mike?
The best email that someone could get a hold of me at would be my FCC call sign. Whoa. And that would be, it's a W4OPS at ARRL.net.
Say it again.
W4OPS at ARRL.net.
Well, you're the best. Mike Turner, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. James Copeland, thank you very much for arranging it. James Copeland wrangled in Mike. He's at the convention. He's at the conference. He has done a great deal of work for Sterling on Sunday. A year ago, James Copeland actually took a job at a Dollar Tree just so that he could report undercover on the workings of a Dollar Tree. That is dedication. And then all this great production that you hear and that you're about to hear, most of it's put together by James Copeland in his Winnebago, at the moment in Arizona, but probably back soon in Kansas. Very few radio shows have this level of production commitment. I am a very lucky guy. All right, the name of the show is Sterling on Sunday, 3 hours live every Sunday night with Walter M. Sterling. That's right, 3 hours live. Can you imagine doing this for 3 hours live every Sunday night? Oh, my God. All right. And then if you want to reach me, my email is waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I answer every single email that I get. I'm having trouble hearing tonight, but that's the sort of detail you just don't want to know about. You just don't want to know about it. All right. And then I have a phone number, 888-688-WALT. More coming up in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by SpongeBob.
Welcome to our club! Welcome to our club! Welcome to our club!
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The week starts out pretty quiet on the East Coast as our storm moves out to Newfoundland. Just a couple of breezes will settle down in Maine and bright sunshine to start the week off and help us dig out of a record tying snow, at least in Boston. It's the sixth biggest snowstorm of all time there in Boston. 23.8 inches of snow within 24-hour period, and that ties a record for good old Boston. Plenty of cold air to start out the week as well, but we'll warm to above average by midweek, and then we'll have some rain moving in to help melt the snow later in the week. Bright sunshine that we have today and tomorrow will also help to sublimate the snow, as solid snow directly evaporates to water vapor without going through the liquid water phase. Is a separate storm in South Texas will track eastward this week, causing rain along the Gulf Coast, but also drawing warmer air, northward. This will help South Florida to warm out of the frost and freeze warnings for last night and tonight. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling Every Night. Next weather in just 6 minutes here on Sterling at Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we're going to go off the coast of Miami, where the Coast Guard came across a capsized boat with one survivor. He says there was originally 31 people on the boat. They were going from the Bimini Islands in the Bahamas towards Miami, trying to escape the third world and make it to the greatest nation the world has ever known, America. And I don't bring you these stories often, but I want you to know they're happening every week. In fact, two of them happened this week. There was another oversized boat that had pushed off from the Bimini Islands and trying to make it just to Florida. And this is mainly people that are trying to escape from Haiti and Cuba and a couple other guys that are trying to smuggle themselves out of Latin America from wherever. And so I think it's good to remind you every once in a while that this is happening all day, every day in Florida. People are pushing off from these islands in the Caribbean with their fingers crossed and the hope among hopes that the thing that we view as this strange, literal, weird mutant state that's just sort of dangling off the front end of the American continent is other people's wildest hopes and dreams, and they're risking their lives and the lives of their families and their children with the hopes that this little rickety boat is going to push off from some island in the middle of the Caribbean to make it to Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to go to Polk County. We're on Lake Stella. A father and a son decided they were going to take Monday off and go fishing. So Monday afternoon, spending some quality family time, just a father and his son on a little boat on a serene lake, the most beautiful setting, enjoying some quality time. About an hour into the fishing trip, the son hooks something, and he's trying to reel it in, and it's heavy. And when he gets there, the father looks over, "What'd you get, son?" "Here it is, Dad. I got a 40-year-old human carcass." The body had appeared to be in the water for about 1, maybe 2 days tops. The medical examiner reported no signs of trauma, no eyewitnesses, no idea what happened. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
It's 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. That's what I believe. See, it's very odd that the numbers stations, these are stations that broadcast numbers in random fashions, strange tones, strange pieces of music, that these have been around since at least the 1920s. The very first radios picked these up. They picked up the strange number stations in the 20s, and there was no reason for them. Then they were officially said, yes, these are very strange stations, in the 1920s during World War I. And it was assumed that they were spy network stations, that spies could give out signals, awards, rewards, awards. They could communicate using the radio. They were on shortwave, and they were on loops. Well, that's problematic right there. In the 1920s, I'm not so sure there were loops. There may have been continuous records that didn't end, but never has anybody triangulated a numbers station. They have never been able to find in French Polynesia, in Hawaii, off the coast of Canada. They have never found the transmitter of a numbers station. With all of our technology, all of our satellites' ability to triangulate and identify and pinpoint where a signal is coming from, that wacky kid in Brooklyn who's putting out rock music, you know, unauthorized rock music, the pirate stations, they can find the pirate stations, no problems. They can torture a broadcaster, no problem. But the number stations, which I'll play you one coming up in seconds, the number stations, they just keep going. And what they put out is spooky and weird and nonstop. And the number of the stations doesn't seem to vacillate. But the thing that haunts me is that the number stations have always been there. Since the 1920s, since the first radio, since the big old AM Philco radios, they have been with us. And that leads me to believe that the number stations have always been on Earth. I have always been fascinated by the period of history before the dinosaurs. And this is what I wonder about. Why were the dinosaurs so big? Before they were so big, they had to be small. They had to evolve into a bigger state. What was before the bigger state dinosaurs? Did the big state dinosaurs kill what was here? There's going to be precious little fossil record of anything before those dinosaurs, and in fact there is. Yet there had to be an entire evolutionary span for the dinosaurs that they went from little baby dinosaurs, little tiny creatures that were safe and not scary, to huge, 25-foot necks. I mean, it's crazy. And then they were wiped out by one event. I find that hard to believe, too. But at the same time that we're going through dinosaur fossils, I believe there are other fossils, maybe other fossils that are not discussed or exposed. You know the famous story. It's sitting in the basement of the museum that there's a spike, a metal man-made spike, a forged metal spike that was found in a rock deep in a well in a mine in a cave that had to be a million years old. It was man-made, it was forged, it was shaped, and it's been sitting there for a million years. Forged in a rock, stuck in a rock, not taken out. I think there are hundreds of thousands of artifacts like that that are either quickly risked to a museum, taken away. Oh, the humans of today can't see that. Or nobody knows what to do with them. Like, this doesn't fit the fossil record. This doesn't fit the official story. But I think part of what doesn't fit the official story are the numbers stations. These stations that you can pick up on shortwave that make weird sounds and I believe are records from a prehistoric time. I'll play you some of the numbers stations in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I have the best time on snowy, cold, bitter nights. This is Sterling on Sunday. In January and February, all you want is to be able to come home and get warm and cozy and not think about leaving until tomorrow. Well, to do that, you need a beautiful, comfortable bed. And the best way to have a great bed is to buy a MyPillow brand pillow. I urge you to buy a MyPillow brand pillow tonight. Yeah, you can do it tonight. Call 800-844-0876. You may have priced a MyPillow brand pillow because you've been fascinated about them for a long time. And then you said, oh, it's too much. Not anymore. You call 800-844-0876. You say, my name, Walter, and the price will go from $69.99 to $19.99. That's right, $20 for a MyPillow brand pillow made in the USA, filled with patented magical material, comfortable as heck, and washable, plus a 10-year warranty. Your car, your marriage doesn't have a 10-year warranty, but now your pillow will. And it's so comfortable. Oh, my gosh. It holds its shape, and it stays cool all night. Everything you've always imagined in a pillow, you get with the MyPillow brand pillow. Now, when you call them, say, Walter, that's how the price goes from $69.99 to $19.99. That is a special offer for Midnight Misfits. You and me. Finally, somebody has done something just for us. A MyPillow brand pillow, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. The great thing about the MyPillow brand people is they have people there right now. There's somebody there right now who's looking forward to talking to you. 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. Call them, tell them, Walter, the price goes from $69.99 to $19.99.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mr. Wizard.
And because a lot of ammonia will dissolve in just a little bit of water, we can make a famous ammonia fountain.
Sterling at night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Okay, so we had this epic snowstorm last Saturday and Saturday night. And it was all along the East Coast and Northeast into New England. But did it actually fit the definition of a blizzard? Well, to qualify as a blizzard, we have to have wind speeds of at least 35 miles per hour. Visibility in blowing snow has to be a quarter of a mile or less. And the duration of the storm has to be at least 3 hours. Well, we've got yes on all three criteria, we had blizzard conditions all the way from Bangor and Portland, Maine, south to Boston, all the way to Connecticut, west to Albany, New York, south through New York City, and into Philadelphia and Delaware. Yes, it was quite a storm, but at least we can look forward to slightly warmer than normal temperatures for the rest of the month. More details on that coming up in the next 15 minutes. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes, right here, only on Sterling at Night.
Did he say it's going to be slightly warmer the rest of the month? The rest of the month is one day. I hope it's going to be slightly warmer the rest of the month, Dr. Dave, because it's one day. Now listen to this. This is what a numbers station sounds like. These can be picked up at random shortwave frequency around the world. One of the more famous number stations was known as the Lincolnshire Poacher, a powerful broadcast that seemed to originate from Cyprus between the mid-1970s and 2008. The best guess amateur radio sleuths could come up with was that it was in operation by the British Secret Service, an actual James Bond kind of stuff that announced its presence with a few bars from an English folk song called, you guessed it, The Lincolnshire Poacher. Now that's pretty spooky, but my theory is spookier. I believe that has nothing to do with Lincolnshire or British or anything like that. I believe that these have been around forever. Because, you see, the first number stations were picked up in the 1920s on radios in the 1920s. These broadcasts were like among the first anybody ever heard. Well, how could that be? Why would that be? And that's what makes it spookier. 888-688-WALT is my phone number, 888-688-9258. There's Stacy in North Carolina. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Stacy. Oh, we lost Stacy. So sad, so sad. 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. I believe that the number stations existed before the dinosaurs. And for some reason, maybe through a portal in time, maybe through a jump in time, they still exist. Or maybe these are being transmitted through a portal in time, and that's all we're getting from another dimension. Because they make no sense. They are spooky. And if you're a spy, there are better ways to communicate than a worldwide shortwave signal, you know, like an encoded cell phone. I think there are better ways to communicate. So therefore, it's very strange. It's beyond very strange that nobody has been able to triangulate the location of any of these. It's really weird. No one has been able to triangulate the location of any number station. Stacy in North Carolina, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Stacy.
Thank you so much. You have educated me tonight and helped put together a theory that I have from a Christian perspective that may be even spookier.
Yes. What's your theory?
Okay. You're saying that these signals have been noticed when radio first started coming out.
Right.
Well, okay. Here's a Here's a theory for you from a Christian perspective. And I am one that believes in a young earth, not in the evolution perspective, but in a young earth perspective. You mentioned dinosaurs, and dinosaurs are just simply reptiles, and reptiles never stop growing. And if environmental conditions were different in a pre-flood world, then that would give them the opportunity to grow to be as big as they got. And we still have reptiles today that keep growing that may just be a continuation of dinosaurs. They just don't get near as big, like crocodiles, alligators, Komodo dragon, you know, good to go down the list. But that's not my main point. My main point is when you read in Genesis 6 about the sons of God, there's a belief in Christian circles that the sons of God, and it does say this in Genesis 6, that they took the daughters of men and made wives of them and had children, hybrid type children that came about
but
as
Stacey,
a result of that.
Right, but Stacy, well, listen to me carefully, and thank you for calling. Stacy, did they build Conet radio stations? Did they build number stations? That's what I'm talking about tonight at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up tonight, we have the usual edition, our fierce and vicious attack on public radio, which is something that should be viciously attacked. Vilo Hul will talk about the curse of Oak Island. The curse of Oak Island gold. Why is it that all gold on television, Nazi gold, why is it that all gold on television is cursed? He will answer some of those questions for you. Plus, I'll have a second edition of Florida Stories, which is clearly our most popular feature. We have a lot going on tonight, a lot to deal with, and an expose of the single most popular participation sport in America, which is bowling. Is there any other radio show like this? There is not. Is there a reason there are no other radio shows unlike this? Yes, there are reasons, because other broadcasters have taste. Other broadcasters are professional. I love it when I talk to program directors in radio and I say, why don't you put my show on? You know, it's on big stations like KDKA, KMOX, KFBK. We're on big, important radio stations. You know what they say?
Well, you know, it doesn't fit in.
That's right. I'm sorry. We're not boring. We're not screaming at the Democrats. We're not doing all the things that Greg Stocker says you must not do. I do what Greg Stocker says, program director of WPHT. And congratulations to Steve Moore for his promotion at KMOX to overall operations director of Odyssey St. Louis. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This man. What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Well, California starts the month out high and dry with no rain in sight at least till mid-month. We're going to look ahead to the month of February, and we're basing this forecast on the La Nina weather pattern that's setting up in the eastern Pacific Ocean. We have slightly cooler than average ocean temperatures, and that usually means that the southern tier of states, from central California through the desert southwest into Texas and the Gulf Coast, should be about average or normal through February. The southeast and Florida should be above normal in temperatures through February. And now we get to the east and northeast, which should be warmer than average for most of February. The northern tier of states and the Pacific Northwest will be cooler than normal as well. Again, this is all based on La Nina conditions. We'll take a closer look at things out west in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes. only on Sterling at Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, let's go ahead and stay in Polk County. They're having a lot of fun there this week. Polk County sheriffs just announced a very successful investigation where they're rounding up 60 people already, 68 people charged, 60 of them already in custody. There's still eight of them they're looking for. But the name of this operation is called Swipe Left for Meth. It's a very clever name because they got a tip back in the summer that people were selling drugs on gay dating apps. And so sure enough, they go check out three of the more popular ones, Grindr, Scruff, and Tammy, it's T-A-I-M-I. I've never heard it said. But after digging around a little bit, the police kind of noticed a code there that certain emojis meant certain different drugs and certain dating, air quotes, profiles weren't looking for dates at all. They're literally just looking to sell drugs. So the cops went on a buying spree. They got 280 grams of meth, 645 grams of marijuana, 113 grams of ecstasy, a gram and a half of fentanyl, 28 grams of psychedelic mushrooms. And I don't know what any of this is because I don't know what a gram is, but it sounds like a lot. And I think one of the undercover officers actually found a boyfriend, too.
Hold my beer.
And for our last Florida story, we're going to a nice little town called Iona where they're having some sort of rabbit holocaust. Dozens of dead rabbits are showing up all over neighborhoods in Iona. WINK has the story.
It's not unusual to see these guys hopping around in the Parker Lakes community, but to see them in this condition, that's got people in this South Fort Myers neighborhood worried and upset.
Right at our front door. And I thought, huh, kind of let it go. And then about 2 weeks later, we saw another one behind the house. And then after looking a little more, there was another one 10 feet away.
And after talking to neighbors, he realized he's not the only one running into this.
Did a little research on the internet and came across this rabbit hemorrhagic disease.
So I reached out to Florida Fish and Wildlife, and they say rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus 2 is something they've been keeping an eye on around the state.
So instead of multiplying like rabbits, are they dividing like rabbits? Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I love James Parker, but he said something in that report that I'm like, yes, oh my gosh, yes. There are things that you and I don't know. I know, it's shocking. There are things you and I don't know, but we never admit. We never admit. He said, you know, it's a gram. That's probably heavy, but I don't know what a gram is. And I'm like, oh my gosh, finally. I have no idea what a gram is. I don't know what it looks like, what it feels like. It's a mystery to me, but I would never admit to you that I don't know what a gram looks like. And I would never know, I don't know what a liter looks like. Yeah, it's almost like a quart, and I don't know what a kilometer looks like, because that's going to become very important now that we're approaching the Olympics, where they insist upon measuring things in, you know, nonsense. And centigrade, For years, I consulted radio stations around the world. You realize that there are only two countries that use Fahrenheit. England and us, and now sometimes Canada. In Las Vegas on KXNT, there is Drew, the Grubhub driver. Hello, Drew, the Grubhub driver. Now, you just had a horrendous accident in Las Vegas, didn't you? Like, how many people were killed?
Yeah, I just heard about it. North Las Vegas, 9 people. It sounds like a Charger, which is, you know, can be a fast vehicle. I'm imagining it might have been a young male, you know, hot rodding, and I just briefly heard something about it blowing through a red light, running into a family in a minivan. The driver and the passenger died, and that means there were 7 people that died in the minivan then, if that's what the collision. 9 people, all dead. He must have been going really fast, must have broadsided him, because if you do head-on with a minivan, you know, a lot of people can survive, but broadside hitting,
it's a horrible story, Drew, and I'm glad, Horrible story, Drew. Glad you're there. Glad you're in Las Vegas. Glad you're listening on KXNT. What did you deliver today as a Grubhub driver?
Today, a couple of McDonald's, and there's actually a Mexican restaurant, family-owned and operated around here that makes, you know, home-cooked food. I just delivered that from one city to another because it's that good. There is closer restaurants, but they wanted the one that they love from another city brought to them. So I had to drive like 15 miles or something like that, which is fine. It was a good order. And, you know, I always say there's tips for the customers to put on the app for drivers. Like, for instance, you know, they have instructions. Like it says, please leave on the chair or anywhere but in front of the door. Which at first is funny, but sad, because I always say customers put, you know, instructions for drivers. Now, this customer shouldn't have had to put this instruction in here for drivers, but there's some drivers that the logic part of the brain is dead. It doesn't exist. Because if you see a door that has a screen door or security door, it swings outwards. Why would you put the food right in front of that to block it? You know, with a drink and everything. So when they open the door, it dumps over. Because most of the orders we have are contact-free delivery. We leave it, and we just send a text message, and we're on our way. That's what most of them are, you know, because of transmission or whatever. So, you know, drivers, any drivers out there, please just use common sense. You see a door that swings out, don't put the food in front of it and block it. You know, come on.
All right, well, this is Drew, the Grubhub driver. Now, Drew, do you know what numbers stations are?
Yeah, I've heard of them, and there's some discussion. Like, I listen to Coast to Coast AM. Love that station because it's like you out in the ether, and they talk about everything else that is different and sometimes taboo. And I didn't know until you said that they were always there from the 1920s. What did they sound like? What were those transmissions sounding like?
They sound like the ones today. They sound like the ones today. And that leads me to my theory, which is the number stations have always been there. They're entering through a portal in time. They are not on Earth. They have never been triangulated. No one has ever found a numbers transmission station. And that is what led me to believe, well, wait a minute, if these were always on the radio, then they've always been on the radio, because what they're transmitting to us sounds like nonsense. They sound like elaborate mathematics, but I don't think they're nonsense, but I think they are eternal number stations. Drew, thank you for being our Grubhub driver. I hope you have a great week.
My honor.
Okay, Ace. 888-688-WALT is my phone number. 888-688-WALT in Pittsburgh this week. The Fern Hollow Bridge collapsed. A major bridge in Pittsburgh collapsed. The infrastructure issues are very real, and you and I will talk more about that coming up in just seconds. It's 16 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. In January and February, all you want is to be able to come home and get warm and cozy and not think about leaving until tomorrow. Well, to do that, you need a beautiful, comfortable bed. And the best way to have a great bed is to buy a MyPillow brand pillow. I urge you to buy a MyPillow brand pillow tonight. Yeah, you can do it tonight. Call 800-844-0876. You may have priced a MyPillow brand pillow because you've been fascinated about them for a long time. And then you said, oh, it's too much. Not anymore. You call 800-844-0876. You say, my name, Walter. And the price will go from $69.99 to $19.99. That's right, $20 for a MyPillow brand pillow made in the USA, filled with patented magical material, comfortable as heck, and washable, plus a 10-year warranty. Everything you've always imagined in a pillow, you get with the MyPillow brand pillow. Now, when you call them, say, Walter, that's how the price goes from $69.99 to $19.99. That is a special offer for Midnight Misfits. You and me. Finally, somebody has done something just for us. A MyPillow brand pillow. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. The great thing about the MyPillow brand people is they have people there right now. There's somebody there right now who's looking forward to talking to you. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them. Tell them, Walter, the price goes from $69.99 to
$19.99. For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
I'd like to share with you the worst name ever for a website. You got to listen to this. Leaflet, L-E-A-F, leafletonline.com. Leafletonline.com. That's the name of this terrible website for a spectacular product. And the spectacular product is fruitcake as you always imagined it could be. The idea of a fruitcake is fantastic, but the reality of fruitcakes is never good. This is good. Spongy, soft, yummy, yummy cake filled with lots and lots of fruit that actually looks like fruit, tastes like fruit. You gotta try it. It's delicious. The little kids will love it. Your grandmother will love it. This is the fruitcake you have dreamed of. L-E-A-F-L-E-T, leafletonline.com. Go to leafletonline.com. Fruitcake, you can buy one in a 1 pound size or a 3 pound size. I bet you'll wind up buying the 3 pound size. And be sure to use my name, Walter, in the promo code, and you will get a nice discount. Leafletonline.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
Sterling at night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Now, another vigorous storm to move into the Midwest by midweek. St. Louis and Kansas City will start out the week with temperatures in the 50s tomorrow and Tuesday. Then we'll get some showers moving in, and those showers will turn to snow by Wednesday night. Dallas, Texas goes from highs in the 70s tomorrow and Tuesday to highs in the 20s Thursday and Friday. Now, Wednesday is Groundhog's Day. Punxsutawney Phil, the nation's groundhog, will have to dig out of some snow in Pennsylvania. That's about 84 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. And he's going to tell us on Wednesday morning if we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. If he sees his shadow, that's the forecast. I don't know with the storm moving into the Midwest if he's going to see his shadow, but that's for Punxsutawney Phil to forecast. Temperatures are going to be cooler than average in the northern tier of states for the foreseeable future in February, and we'll talk more about that in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes here on Sterling Every Night.
22 past the hour. It's a national radio show that's 3 hours long, and you and I get to cover the weather live on Sunday night when every other radio station in America is playing the gold show, the Bitcoin show, and all the other horrible shows that you hate, that you don't need. What you need is this. 3 hours live on Sunday night. Three. That's right, three. Joshua, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi.
Hi, Joshua.
How are you?
Well, I'm very excited to be indoors tonight.
Do you ever feel like you're in the Groundhog Day movie?
Why do you ask that?
Because I feel like I am in that Groundhog Day movie. I got a second reference from it way earlier today on a completely different source from what I just heard. Some message on that I just heard right before I just got on air, and it just threw me for a loop.
I'm sorry it threw you for a loop. How can I help you get over this trauma?
Remind me why I was calling in. What was my point? Oh, God.
You were going to talk about the Grubhub guy?
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you so much.
Sure,
yeah, the Groundhog Day really threw me for a loop. So I came back into town and, I saw somebody who I've known, you know, not like a close friend, but this artist guy, and he's like, hey, I'm doing, DoorDash, which is basically like Grubhub, right?
Right.
And so he said, hey, hop in with me. I got to go make these deliveries. Are you, if you're not busy, we'll just like chat while I'm going to go pick up this food and take it to places. And I was like, okay. You know, because in my mind at first, I was just like, okay, is this okay? Should I put a wet mask on or whatever? He wasn't wearing a mask. And so I proceeded to hang out with him for about an hour, and he drove around with no mask on, got food from restaurants where people with no masks on were making the food. I don't even want to give away the location because I'm like nervous about this. But I mean, I was like, okay, I guess this is all okay. But in my mind, I was like, I'm never going to order food from these people if I'm ever in the position where I'm like, hey, let's order Grubhub or DoorDash, because seeing how it goes down and my mind wrapping around what could go down from the point where you're trusting just this random person to go pick up your food for you, then drive to your house and drop it off there. Granted, you know, you've got their information and you know who they are. It just seems like sketchy. Have you ever gotten DoorDash or Grubhub?
Well, let's put it into a meta context. I have a lot of trouble with apps in general. My first problem with apps is making them work. Whenever I put a new app on my phone, it seems to take up all remaining memory. And then I have to eliminate all
Thank
of the
you.
Very... I have to eliminate all of the Roblox games that I have on my phone. That's part
Thank
one.
You. Thank
yeah,
you.
That's part one. Part two is that whatever is supposed to happen with the app, there's one little switch that I forget to turn on. There's a location switch. There's a Bluetooth switch. There's something I forget to do that's elusive to me. Because you see, and I don't mean to say that I'm really old, but I've had home delivery of food all my life. But you see, the way I did it was I picked up a phone, a landline phone, and I called the store and I said, could you deliver this to my home or my apartment? And they'd say, sure, we'd love to see it, Mr. Sterling. We'll be happy to be there. There'd be $5 for the guy. I'd give him $5. It was nice to see him. Now, let me tell you what the plus of that is. This is a true story. When I lived in Manhattan, and I know you won't believe this, but when I lived in Manhattan, I'd get like a bagel and cream cheese and a coffee and an orange juice pretty much every day from the same delicatessen. And this was true for a long time because, you know, in Manhattan, there was always delivery. There was always delivery of everything, including hardware at 2 a.m. Therefore, when I got sick like with the flu, really bad. And I didn't make that call to that deli for about 4 days. And son of a gun, I opened my door, and there was a bag of my usual order with a note saying, get well soon, and no charge.
Oh, in my
mean,
God.
Yeah, in mean,
those are
cold,
the days.
In mean, cold, nasty Manhattan, that's what goes on. But I agree with you. I think that the food apps are mysterious. I mean, just to get them to work. And you know what I have never been able to get to work ever is a supermarket curbside pickup. That has never happened. And part of the reason it's never happened, because, again, I don't know how to make that happen. Part of the reason that's never happened is I can't get over the notion of, like, what do you mean curbside pickup? What do you mean in-store pickup? Isn't that a store? Isn't that me going to the store? What is the convenience for me of curbside pickup? There I am, through the traffic, through the parking lot, through the curb, and now I'm at the curb. I might as well get out and go to the store. Crazy talk. I appreciate your call. You're a good listener. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. Coming up in seconds, you and I are going to talk about this horrendous bridge collapse in Pittsburgh. The Fern Hollow Bridge collapsed. And there was a bus on it, and people were injured, but nobody was killed, thank God. But they're going to retrieve four cameras from it before they pull up the bus. And I'm like, who knew that buses had cameras on them? Airplanes, yes, buses, that's news. They're going to be able to see what happened to that bus right before it went over the bridge in Pittsburgh. A huge infrastructure fail. Now, you know, Pittsburgh is a city of bridges. For a bridge to fail in Pittsburgh is a very big deal. My number is 888-688-WALT. Yes, Dave LaBrosi, I know how to do local stories. 888-688-WALT. And my number is, I just gave you that, my email is waltermsterling@gmail, waltermsterling@gmail. Coming up in just seconds, we will have Velo Houle with his report on the curse of Oak Island, the curse of Oak Island gold. And as I said, why is it that all gold on all TV shows is cursed? Nazi gold is cursed. Oak Island gold is cursed. It seems to be a plague. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mr. Beast.
I just bought this house and I'm going to give it to Chandler.
Really?
No.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The week starts out pretty quiet on the East Coast as our storm moves out to Newfoundland. Just a couple of breezes will settle down in Maine and bright sunshine to start the week off and help us dig out of a record tying snow, at least in Boston. That's the sixth biggest snowstorm of all time there in Boston. 23.8 inches of snow within 24-hour period, and that ties a record for good old Boston. Plenty of cold air to start out the week as well, but we'll warm to above average by midweek, and then we'll have some rain moving in to help melt the snow later in the week. Bright sunshine that we had today and tomorrow will also help to sublimate the snow, as solid snow directly evaporates to water vapor without going through the liquid water phase. Is a separate storm in South Texas will track eastward this week, causing rain along the Gulf Coast, but also drawing warmer air northward. This will help South Florida to warm out of the frost and freeze warnings for last night and tonight. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling Every Night. Next weather in just 6 minutes here on Sterling at Night.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'm going to discuss Gun and Shield Day. Gun and Shield Day is basically your last day in the police academy where they give you your gun and shield. And on that particular day, friends and families come and you take photos, and you're told by your instructors numerous times, don't touch that goddamn gun until you're in field training and you're someone else's problem. They don't want you going out. They don't want you getting involved in anything. They basically want you to go home in seclusion until the following day when you graduate from the police academy. And this particular year, they were a little raised up because the class before me, a couple of guys decided to go and test out their new sparkling 38 caliber revolvers underneath the FDR drive and shot a couple of pigeons and basically were fired. So despite all the warnings on Gun and Shield Day, I'll never forget, I get up and I go to the men's room and there's a couple of guys in the bathroom clowning around. One guy's scratching his head with his 38, and another guy's got his hands on his hips like Yul Brynner in Westworld, challenging me to a gunfight. I politely declined and backed out of the bathroom. So anyway, later that night, against all conventional wisdom, my friends and I decided to test our luck and go out for a couple of cocktails up in the Bronx. So those of you that know the 242nd Street and Broadway area, there's probably about 8 different Irish bars up there, and I'm not going to say which one, but we find ourselves in this place, and it was crowded, and we're listening to music, and we're having a blast. The next thing you know, a fight breaks out inside the bar. This guy was a big guy. He just starts swinging at people. And those bars had these big Irish lads as bouncers. These guys were, we used to call them Irish stink oafs because they could just pick you up and carry you into the night. Well, this guy is fighting off the stink oafs. And he's hitting, as they're dragging him out of the bar, he's punching and kicking everybody. I mean, he was so annoying, this guy, the Pope would take a swing at him. Anyway, the whole bar empties out into the street, and if I find myself and a couple of my police academy recruits with our guns sitting at the bar. We're the only ones in the bar that didn't get in, that got involved in this nonsense. The fight got so bad that the Irish lads broke out with these hurling sticks. These big wooden sticks, and they were swinging them. And we were inside the bar, and we're watching this, and we're like, what are we going to do? We're not going to take police action, that's for sure. One of my friends came up with the idea. He went behind the bar and started hitting the taps, and we put some money up on the bar, and we continued to drink until the end of the night. So the next day at the police, the next day at Madison Square Garden, when we're graduating, our instructor turns to us and says, all right, I'm glad nobody got involved in anything. You guys went straight home. We're like, yep, yes, sir, yes, sir. So Gun and Shield Day for me was an exciting experience. I kept my gun in my holster. I didn't get involved in anything, but I did get to watch this Donnybrook break out. So that's a story from my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
Rattles in Alaska, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Well, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Now,
we're up to our necks in snow here.
Yeah, well, I've got 2 feet of snow, 7 degrees of temperature. What's your temperature?
30 below.
Oh, my gosh. Now, when you step outside and it's 30 below, your skin can freeze instantly. Is that right?
No. Not that quick. No.
But you
don't get up in the morning when it's this temperature and eat puffed rice for breakfast either.
That's true. What do you eat?
Scrapple.
Oh, God. How may I help you today?
I knew you'd like that.
Oh, my God.
Well, you eat some good greasy stuff. You eat, you know, some sausage and fried potatoes and eggs, and you gotta load up pretty good on burnable calories.
I got it, Chief. So, Rattles, how may I be of service to you?
Now, look, your weatherman there, he was talking about Punxsutawney Phil.
Yes.
He said he's 80 miles north of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Well, he's all wet. Punxsutawney Phil is south of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Amish country down near the Maryland line.
Well, this is obviously a very serious event. And we
I don't know why
to...
they do that.
I don't either. But Rattles...
We had a lot of rubes cave in up here this winter so far, because we have a real heavy abundance of snow, more than normal.
Yes, us too. Now, let me ask you something. You ever watch that show, Ice Road Truckers?
Well, yeah.
All right. Is any of that true?
Oh, yes. Yep. I used to build Ice Road out on top of the Arctic Ocean, not where the oil field is up north of Prudhoe Bay.
Yes.
We used to build ice roads out there and have big, big equipment out on the top of the ice. And, we'd drill holes down in the ice. We'd berm up snow on either side where you want to make your road, drill holes down in the ice, let water come up, and let that flow, and it makes such a smooth road. It's pathetic, man.
Is it true that you have to leave the engines running?
Yes. They leave engines running up there all winter long on some of them big, big trucks.
Or else it'll freeze up.
They got these trucks that move oil rigs. And they're sitting there idling all winter long. They're about 2.5 stories high, them big trucks. They're Mack. They're made special for moving oil rigs. And they're huge. And they're sitting there grinding away, you know, right idling.
I really appreciate the sound effect. That was good. That was good.
Now, look, out here at the end of the road where I live, 30 mile out of Fairbanks, northeast of Fairbanks, on the Chena Hot Springs Road. And out at the end of the road where I live here, there's a real nice hot spring. And I want to tell you what, it's really nice, 20 below zero. You go out there, we're outside swimming, northern lights are going overhead. Can't beat it.
Do you have the Northern Lights every night or just sometimes?
Not every night. They're regulated by sun storms. When
you get
big solar flares, then the next day later, you've got Northern Lights pretty intense.
They're incredible. I've seen them a few times.
They're incredible.
Believe it or not, I've seen them in New Jersey, but they're spectacular. And because the first time I didn't know what they were, so they were spooky. But then when I knew where they were, it was like, it was a great blessing, a great gift. As are you, my friend. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday Rattles from Alaska. All right, who we got here? Let's see. Charles in Pittsburgh, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Hi, Charles.
How you doing, Walt?
Charles, you're in Pittsburgh. Yeah, did you see the bridge collapse?
Yeah, right. Well, I know where the bridge is, and I've gone after a lot of times. But what I'm wondering about is, why are they letting buses like that go up on that bridge?
This was an articulated bus. It was a two-part bus, and it collapsed with the bridge.
Yeah, it's heavy. Really, really heavy. I'm thinking to myself, why would the bus come? I wouldn't let this bus go over that bridge.
So you say the problem was the bus and not the bridge? The problem was the bus, not the bridge?
I'm saying it's both.
Both. How old was that bridge?
It was about 40 years old.
Right, so the Fern Hollow Bridge in Pittsburgh collapsed this week with an articulated bus on it. They haven't pulled the bus off it because they want to take the cameras off the bus first. Three or four people were injured on the bus. Nobody was killed. How do you feel about this? I mean, obviously, that bridge hadn't been taken care of, in my opinion, right?
That's right. A lady took pictures. The beams hook on the bottom. Those beams go down to the bottom length of the bridge. She took pictures of it and sent it to 311. And they didn't do anything about it.
So
citizens in Pittsburgh.
So citizens had identified this problem months or years ago.
Yeah. That's
unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. It makes me sick. It just makes me sick how worthless our government is. Charles in Pittsburgh, thank you for listening on KDKA. Coming up in just seconds, you and I will talk. And I've got Vilo Hul with a very special report on Oak Island Gold. This is Sterling on Sunday. In January and February, all you want is to be able to come home and get warm and cozy and not think about leaving until tomorrow. Well, to do that, you need a beautiful, comfortable bed. And the best way to have a great bed is to buy a MyPillow brand pillow. I urge you to buy a MyPillow brand pillow tonight. Yeah, you can do it tonight. Call 800-844-0876. You may have priced a MyPillow brand pillow because you've been fascinated about them for a long time. And then you said, oh, it's too much. Not anymore. You call 800-844-0876. You say, my name, Walter, and the price will go from $69.99 to $19.99. That's right, $20 for a MyPillow brand pillow made in the USA, filled with patented magical material, comfortable as heck and washable, plus a 10-year warranty. Everything you've always imagined in a pillow, you get with the MyPillow brand pillow. Now, when you call them, say, Walter, that's how the price goes from $69.99 to $19.99. That is a special offer for Midnight Misfits. You and me. Finally, somebody has done something just for us. A MyPillow brand pillow. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. The great thing about the MyPillow brand people is they have people there right now. There's somebody there right now who's looking forward to talking to you. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them. Tell them, Walter, The price goes from $69.99 to
$19.99. For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You can fight climate change by buying pizza or groceries. With the Aspiration Zero credit card, a tree will be planted every time you make a purchase with your card. Track your progress in the app and earn 1% cash back each month you reach carbon zero. Aspiration Zero. One card. Zero carbon footprint.
Like, no really, is that a joke?
Sterling on Sunday doesn't fit in.
Sterling at night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Okay, so we had this epic snowstorm last Saturday and Saturday night. And it was all along the East Coast and northeast into New England. But did it actually fit the definition of a blizzard? Well, to qualify as a blizzard, we have to have wind speeds of at least 35 miles per hour. Visibility in blowing snow has to be a quarter of a mile or less. And the duration of the storm has to be at least 3 hours. Well, we've got yes on all three criteria. We had blizzard conditions all the way from Bangor and Portland, Maine, south to Boston, all the way to Connecticut, west to Albany, New York, south through New York City, and into Philadelphia and Delaware. Yes, it was quite a storm, but at least we can look forward to slightly warmer than normal temperatures for the rest of the month. More details on that coming up in the next 15 minutes. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes, right here, only on Sterling at Night.
Dave, why did you repeat yourself? Why did he close it out twice? These are the mysteries. Oh my gosh, look at that. In Pittsburgh, there's Dave. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Walter. Always nice talking to you. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and I have missed you. I have felt cheated. I have felt cheated in a profound way.
I tried to call it. It was at the end of the show once a few weeks ago, and it was just too late to get me on. But, hey, here we are. But we're having another proof of global warming night in Pittsburgh. It's a balmy 19 degrees. And actually, this is as balmy as it's been in the last three or four nights. We've been hovering around zero the last three or four nights. So I have my Bermuda shorts on, and Al Gore is smiling. So
they're very attractive, those Bermuda shorts. They're very attractive.
Well, what I like about them is when they get dirty, you can't really tell because of the pattern. You know, so it just, when there's dirt or some sort of stain, it just blends into the pattern.
And then you don't waste hot water and water in general washing unnecessarily.
Absolutely. And they said my water bill is going to go up 35 cents a day as of, I think, February. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, God bless Al.
But, God bless Al. Right. I live 3 miles from the bridge that collapsed.
Yes, tell me about it.
I probably traveled over that bridge. I'm 54 years old. I've been driving since I started driving late. I started when I was about 23. But I've probably been over that bridge, I'm going to estimate, 10,000 times. And living locally, I don't pay a lot of attention to local politics, especially city politics, because I don't technically live in the city. So I don't know what the issues were with the bridge. But I'm going to say it was an isolated event. And what's funny is the local politicians and or the local journalists that want to push President Biden's infrastructure bill, now they're basically predicting that this is going to happen to every other bridge around the region. You know what I mean? Which is a little ridiculous. But it's just funny it coincided with President Biden's visit the same day.
Yes.
Kind of ironic.
It was funny, as in, ha, 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 ha. That was a hoot. Yes, the bridge collapsed. Four people were injured in a bus, and the president came to town.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Just very strange occurrences. I don't think that sensible people have a problem with the infrastructure bill. It's the amount of pork in it and the amount of useless things that have nothing to do with infrastructure. That's the problem, but still they're going to try to push it because that's the agenda, you know?
It's an epic change in the definition of infrastructure, which I thought was roads, bridges, airports, railroads. It seems to encompass almost everything but those infrastructure issues. It included things like new knitting needles for grandma. It's crazy what's in that bill.
Go ahead.
And it's corrupt.
I don't read a lot into it, but I know there's a lot of pork. And one thing that triggers my memory is low rent housing. What does that have to do with infrastructure? You know,
my father refers to low rent housing as, quote, the slums of tomorrow. And
right.
Since I was three, I heard the phrase the slums of tomorrow whenever government housing was put up. I appreciate the call. I really appreciate you listening on KDKA. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, we have Velo Houle with a report on the infrastructure from Oak Island, sharing with us new findings of gold on Oak Island. Plus, the usual edition, the Midnight Misfit usual edition. That's coming up in the next hour when we celebrate being a Midnight Misfit, where all of us who do not belong gather around the radio and say, you know what, we really don't belong. And finally, there's a radio show just for us, those of us who do not belong. And one of the things you'll want to download is your Midnight Misfit decoder card. Go to Walter Sterling Show, Walter Sterling Show, and there you will find a tab that says Midnight Misfits. Pull it down and print out what's there. It is a decoder for the letters that I'll give you, and then you'll be able to write them down on a code pad and find out secret information that usually you have to go to a number station for, but here it is on a big, giant AM radio station like KDKA, KMOX, KFBK, and a big giant FM station, KMBZ, in Kansas City. We have everything you could possibly want. The name of the show is Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Well, California starts the month out high and dry with no rain in sight at least till mid-month. We're going to look ahead to the month of February, and we're basing this forecast on the La Nina weather pattern that's setting up in the eastern Pacific Ocean. We have slightly cooler than average ocean temperatures, and that usually means that the southern tier of states, from central California through the desert southwest into Texas and the Gulf Coast, should be about average or normal through February. The southeast and Florida should be above normal in temperatures through February. And now we get to the east and northeast, which should be warmer than average for most of February. The northern tier of states and the Pacific Northwest will be cooler than normal as well. Again, this is all based on La Nina conditions. We'll take a closer look at things out west in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes, only on Sterling at Night.
This is the usual edition from Public Radio. The usual edition is a highly budgeted international show, an interplanetary show that covers everything. If it happens, it's happening here, baby. We're coming up with a way for you to give us money. Fundraising is our primary objective. Now, the star of public radio. She researches excessively. Rachel Goldstein Shabazz.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Enough said. Today, we explore the world of sport. The number one participation sport in America, bowling. Yes, bowling. The wide world of sport bowling. Many people are turned off to the sport, not by the fat men who take up the good balls, or the endless stench of beer, or the challenge of scoring the final frame with three strikes. No, we are challenged by the shoes, the disgusting, previously numerously worn shoes. Always smelly, stinky, disgusting. It is about the shoes. The shoes. The shoes.
I'm Jim Gutterman, and I own a bowling alley just outside Scranton. We've been here since our boys came home from the war. The real war. Spanish-American War. Years ago, the pins were set by hand. Not by an overcomplicated machine. I set the pins because I'm a real man. Finally, last year, we put in a pin-setting machine.
Bowling? Fascinating. Go on.
But the machines are noisy and scared by feral cats. I've never seen them again. Let me assure you, the shoes are just fine. Those are the same shoes that we've rented out since the Walmart opened.
At Public Radio, all we care about is the international reaction. Jim Blind will now hit the streets of another country for a reaction.
Bowling around the world. Whee! Here in Eritrea, there is only one bowling alley. Let's crash the party.
What's up, guys? Today I'm going to show you what it's like to go bowling in the country of Eritrea. So this is behind the scenes of bowling in Eritrea. He manually does the pins right there and throws the ball back every time. What's your name?
Simon.
Nice to meet you, bro. This guy's a man. At this one and only sports complex in Asmara, the capital of Eritrea, you can find old men playing a unique version of billiards and teenagers playing video games. But most impressive to me is the six-lane bowling alley, which you have to see it to believe it. Essentially, the system hasn't changed since it opened up in the 1940s. The lights have gone out and we're relying on a generator, but it's still not very strong. So we're waiting for the lights to come back on. Eritrea, in general, feels like you've entered a time machine back to the good old days, and bowling is a perfect example. You pay 20 nakfa to play, or roughly $1. Thank you so much. Then you bowl like normal, but when you knock down any pins, there are little kids back there who are employed to manually rearrange your frame, each and every bowl.
Award-winning journalism continues.
Time to give us money. Public Radio needs new $5,000 condenser mics so you will continue to hear mouth noises. Send it now. No Bitcoin. That's a scam.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Now to our official house band, Sitting on Stacy.
There were bells on a hill, but I'd never heard them ringing. No, I'd never heard them at all till there was you.
Oh, my Midnight Misfits, my Midnight Misfits. This is our time. This is our hour where no one can bother us, where we get to be eccentric. People will accuse us of autism. It's not autism. Asperger's. It's not Asperger's. We just like to be alone. That's what it is. We like to be alone. Let me tell you my ideal afternoon. You ready? This is any afternoon. It's not after, you know, a really busy week. Sometimes you like to bleed. No, I like to be alone every day, all day. Here's my day. I have a comfy chair. The upholstery is coming out of it. You know, the stuffing's coming out. That's how comfy it is. I'm not going to have it refurbished. I'm not going to have it recovered. I don't want that. I have a comfy chair. I will sit in that chair. I will put on Storage Wars. Storage Wars is at the moment, my favorite television show. I'll discuss that with you at length in moments. I watch Storage Wars. Then I eat some form of Nutella, either Nutella on a sandwich or Nutella right off the spoon. Same thing with the peanut butter, right off the spoon. And that's pretty much my diet for a day or two or three. That's ideal. And the television room is near, very near a bathroom. Therefore, I don't have to go far. I'd have to go 10 feet to get up off the chair, to the refrigerator, to the bathroom, and back. That's it. That's as far as I'm going. That, to me, is an ideal day. And then, oh, gee, we lost the remote. Now, I never actually lose the remote. I just keep saying, oh, gee, we lose the remote, because then no one will bother me for the remote, and no one will want to change the channel. Every now and then, I'll get a little tired of Storage Wars, and I'll watch Fox News. And what I watch on Fox News is always the same thing. It's Gutfeld. It's not for his politics. Nobody believes me, but it's true. It's not for his politics. It's because he's funny. Can't we just like something because it's funny? Midnight Misfit time. You and me. My phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. Now I have a dilemma that I want you to solve. We'll get to my car in a moment, but let's go with this. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and my 16-year-old daughter at 12:15 at night is not home yet. She's not home yet because she has a new boyfriend. I give her curfews. Here are the curfews. See if they're wacky. On school nights, she has to be home by 11. On weekends, she has to be home by midnight. That's it. Those are my rules. She has to be home by 11 on a school night, midnight on a weekend. It's 12:15 on the East Coast right now, and she's not home. She's not home. What would you do? What would you do with a 16-year-old girl who isn't home yet, and her curfew was 12:15? Not home yet. What do you say? What should I say? This is my first kid who is skirting the rules. She's skirting the rules. And I don't want to overreact and make it an issue and turn it into a Romeo and Juliet issue. But I can't have this because we also have a 9-year-old. And I live in the real world. I worry. Her mother worries. What would you do? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday. When it's miserable and cold outside, you want to be able to crash on your bed on a comfortable pillow, blankets, sheets. You want to be able to be engulfed in warmth and comfort and safety. Safety. And one way to have everything you want in a bed is to buy a MyPillow brand pillow. Because the MyPillow brand pillow is super comfortable, but most importantly, you can wash it. Think about the last time you washed a pillow. That didn't go well. They never dry right. They smell funny. But the MyPillow brand pillow is made to be washed. It is filled with a patented material made in the United States of America. You put it in the wash, smells beautiful when you take it out. You put it in the dryer, it takes its shape, it holds its shape. You put it on your bed, you crash on it, and all night your head stays cool and it keeps its shape. That's the pillow we dream of. 800-844-0876. Call them up. Find out about every single product that they make. The mattress topper, the blankets, the sheets, and the MyPillow brand pillow. Now, if you say, Walter, on this phone call, if you call them and say, Walter, you will hear about a price drop unknown in retailing. It goes from $69.99 to $19.99 for a MyPillow brand pillow. This is a premium pillow made in the United States with a 10-year warranty. A 10-year warranty. 800-844-0876. Pick up the phone. Call them. Is somebody there now? right now. Looking forward to speaking to you at this hour of the day and this day of the week. 800-844-0876. A MyPillow brand pillow.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
When I imagine what a fruitcake was, I imagine it, that the fruit would look like fruit, that the cherries would look like cherries with stems in it, and that the cake would be spongy and yummy and have a great aroma. That never was the case. However, now, with LeafletOnline.com, a seminary that sells fruitcake that matches your imagination about fruitcake. Right, fruitcake that is the fruitcake you imagine. Spongy cake, real fruit, bouncy fresh fruit. It's spectacular. It's great. Why not? You can get a 1 pound size or a 3 pound size. Go to leafletonline.com. I don't know why they have such a bad website name, terrible name, LEAFLET, leafletonline.com. Leafletonline.com. Go there, put in my name, Walter, get a nice discount and a really terrific fruitcake.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I feel better after I have a nice cup of coffee.
Sterling at night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Now, another vigorous storm to move into the Midwest by midweek. St. Louis and Kansas City will start out the week with temperatures in the 50s tomorrow and Tuesday. Then we'll get some showers moving in, and those showers will turn to snow by Wednesday night. Dallas, Texas goes from highs in the 70s tomorrow and Tuesday to highs in the 20s Thursday and Friday. Now, Wednesday is Groundhog's Day. Punxsutawney Phil, the nation's groundhog, will have to dig out of some snow in Pennsylvania. That's about 84 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. And he's going to tell us on Wednesday morning if we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. If he sees his shadow, that's the forecast. I don't know with the storm moving into the Midwest if he's going to see his shadow, but that's for Punxsutawney Phil to forecast. Temperatures are going to be cooler than average in the northern tier of states for the foreseeable future in February, and we'll talk more about that in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes here on Sterling Every Night.
The Leginas have been on a roll in great part to the wonderful work of metal detection expert Gary Drayton. Gary was metal detecting along with the Fornetti brothers and found an intriguing piece of copper. This copper looked like it could have belonged to a ship. They weren't necessarily sure. So they took it to Carmen Legg. He is your ancient metal expert on the show. And Carmen looked and he said, oh yeah, this is an old one. The 1100s. That's almost 400 years before Columbus found the New World. The amazement on the face of Gary Drayton and the Leginas was palpable. Also found in the swamp, they found more wood that came from an older ship, more than likely. Fred Nolan's theory is that the swamp was actually created by man, where a ship with an amazing treasure was buried. Fred Nolan was right. Ship found. Treasure to follow. This ninth season of The Curse of Oak Island has been a complete success, even if they don't find one more thing. From Maine to La Jolla to my living room, this is noted Oak Island expert Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
It's 23 past the hour. My 16-year-old daughter has a curfew. On school night, she has to be in by 11. On weekend nights, she has to be in by midnight. It is 12:24 on the East Coast. Larry in Texas, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Good evening.
You know, I had the same, my wife and I had the same type of situation with our 16-year-old son when he was 16. He's now 34. But what we would tell him is that, look, in life, there's always consequences to every decision. Some might be good, some might be bad, some might be short-term, some might be long-term, but there's always going to be a consequence. And as far as skirting the curfew, we would share with him that if he was 15 or 20 or 30 minutes late over the curfew, then we would take 20 or 30 or 40 minutes away from his next curfew. So in other words, if he had your daughter has 11 o'clock curfew and she's a half hour late the one evening, the next evening she's only has a 10:30 curfew. And so that's the consequence, and they have the control over that. It gives them a little bit of empowerment, and you just kind of grit your teeth and let it go. But that's how we kind of handled that situation.
Now, did you set up a reward as well for coming in on time?
You know, we really didn't. We never had, you know, that kind of situation where we felt we had to reward him to do the right thing. He was a pretty good kid all around, so that never really came up, to tell you the truth.
I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you listening to Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much. The situation is that my 16-year-old daughter is supposed to be home by now, and she's not, and she has a new boyfriend. And the new boyfriend he's a good-looking guy, a nice guy, but every single night she's coming home late. Every single night. If it was just an occasional Saturday, oh well. But it's not. It's school nights and it's weekend nights. This is affecting her homework. It's going to affect her grades. And I'm like, this is silly. She's a junior in high school. This is the key year in terms of where she's going to go to school. Now, the dilemma is she's going to go to art school. And it isn't going to matter much. What's going to matter is her portfolio. I don't have the leverage I had with another kid who went to Syracuse, where the academics were all important. However, I want her home. And I've said to her, hey, we miss you. We like to see you. We need to see you. What's going on here? I want you home at midnight on a weekend night, 11 o'clock on a school night. I've never had a kid who's given me this trouble before. What would you do? My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I love being on the radio at this time because it's just you and me. There you are in the 18-wheeler. You're in the den. We're just talking to each other. Best time of day to be on the radio, 27 past the hour. Now, what else have I got for you? I have a lot. We have another episode of Florida Stories, and you and I are going to talk about this because this is amazing to me. It's a really weird story, and it leads to a lot of other things. There's this way too good-looking TikTok star, way too good-looking. His name is Jack Wright, and he accuses another influencer on TikTok, Sienna May, of sexually assaulting him. I woke up to her hand in my pants, TikTok star Jack Wright said. He's 18. He accuses influencer Sienna May, who's also 18, of sexually assaulting him 4 times. Once by groping him while he was passed out. She says he slut-shamed her. He's slut-shaming her. TikTok star Jack Wright, 18, has accused his former friend and collaborator, influencer Sienna May Gomez, also 18, of sexual assault. The teen, in a video released last Friday, claimed Gomez got on top of me, took advantage of me, groped me while he was unconscious at a party in Hawaii. Well, let's just think about that whole package. They were at a party in Hawaii, and he passed out at this party in Hawaii, and she dumped on top of him and groped him while he was passed out. Well, there's more. Video of the alleged assault was shared online with Wright's friend, who was sitting beside him, claiming he had to pull Sienna May off of him. Gomez denied the allegations, with her representatives calling the claims fictitious and an act of slander. They also alleged that the pair had a consensual and cordial relationship. Further claim, the false accusations began after Gomez wished to end the relationship out of feelings for being used and misled through their time together. Is it possible for a woman to sexually abuse a guy, a big, strong, beefy guy? Is that possible? Is that something can actually happen? I say no. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Long John Neville.
It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The week starts out pretty quiet on the East Coast as our storm moves out to Newfoundland. Just a couple of breezes will settle down in Maine and bright sunshine to start the week off and help us dig out of a record-tying snow, at least in Boston. It's the sixth biggest snowstorm of all time there in Boston. 23.8 inches of snow within 24-hour period, and that ties a record for good old Boston. Plenty of cold air to start out the week as well, but we'll warm to above average by midweek, and then we'll have some rain moving in to help melt the snow later in the week. Bright sunshine that we had today and tomorrow will also help to sublimate the snow, as solid snow directly evaporates to water vapor without going through the liquid water phase. Is a separate storm in South Texas will track eastward this week, causing rain along the Gulf Coast, but also drawing warmer air, northward. This will help South Florida to warm out of the frost and freeze warnings for last night and tonight. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling Every Night. Next weather in just 6 minutes here on Sterling at Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, let's go ahead and stay in Polk County. They're having a lot of fun there this week. Polk County sheriffs just announced a very successful investigation where they're rounding up 60 people already, 68 people charged. 60 of them already in custody. There's still 8 of them they're looking for. But the name of this operation is called Swipe Left for Meth. It's a very clever name because they got a tip back in the summer that people were selling drugs on gay dating apps. And so sure enough, they go check out 3 of the more popular ones, Grindr, Scruff, and Taimi. It's T-A-I-M-I. I've never heard it said. But after digging around a little bit, the police kind of noticed a code there that certain emojis meant certain different drugs and certain dating, air quotes, profiles weren't looking for dates at all. They're literally just looking to sell drugs. So the cops went on a buying spree. They got 280 grams of meth, 645 grams of marijuana, 113 grams of ecstasy, 1.5 grams of fentanyl, 28 grams of psychedelic mushrooms. And I don't know what any of this is because I don't know what a gram is, but it sounds like a lot. I think one of the undercover officers actually found a boyfriend, too. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
And for our last Florida story, we're going to a nice little town called Iona, where they're having some sort of rabbit holocaust. Dozens of dead rabbits are showing up all over neighborhoods in Iona. WINK has the story.
It's not unusual to see these guys hopping around in the Parker Lakes community, but to see them in this condition, that's got people in this South Fort Myers neighborhood worried and upset.
Right at our front door. And I thought, huh, kind of let it go. And then about 2 weeks later, we saw another one behind the house. And then after looking a little more, there was another one 10 feet away.
And after talking to neighbors, he realized he's not the only one running into this.
Did a little research on the internet and came across this rabbit hemorrhagic disease.
So I reached out to Florida Fish and Wildlife, and they say rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus 2 is something they've been keeping an eye on around the state.
So instead of multiplying like rabbits, are they dividing like rabbits? Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
It's the Midnight Misfit Hour of Sterling on Sunday. It's where all of us who don't belong have a home. All of us. Laura in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday on WPHT.
Hi there, Walter. I'm so glad to get through. I just came home from work, and I'm sitting in my car. I wanted to talk to you about the situation with your daughter. I hope this hour she has walked in the house.
I don't believe she has. I do my show from my laundry room. I do the show from my laundry room. I don't think she has come in yet. She's 16. She had a curfew of 11.
Right. The one thing that I would impress upon you is you have to appeal to her better senses and take the onus off of her by saying to her, and I don't know what the age of this young man is, but obviously you have to tell your daughter, you know, I think you're not the problem here in getting home. You may have a problem trying to convince your boyfriend it's time, or even to tell him of a curfew, unless he does know it. The thing is, you have to say, well, if you do not, cannot make this happen, then we will have to speak to him, because obviously he's not showing that he's responsible enough to take you out and get you home when your parents request, and he doesn't respect you or us by doing that.
Excellent advice, Laura. And my daughter, like most daughters, is a good kid. It isn't like a rebellious streak. She just likes this guy. And this guy is like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll get you home soon. Don't worry about it. But that's a really good technique, Laura, and I appreciate it. So you like the giant radio show, is that right?
I like the what?
You like my giant radio show, is that right?
I love your entire show. You are an amazing person. You're one of a kind. And I listen to you every evening when I get off at 11 o'clock at night. I get in my car. I have my my radio set, and I listen, and I really enjoy it. And the problem sometimes is I live in Westchester, but I've temporarily living in Maryland, and for me to get home, I lose the signal, and sometimes I don't hear those important little things that you mentioned, and I miss the clarity of my station when I'm always in Westchester.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much. 888-688-WALT 888-688 WALT, the Midnight Misfit Hour, the Midnight Misfit Hour. The weirdos come here. They come here to roost. I love you all. This is Sterling on Sunday. In January and February, all you want is to be able to come home and get warm and cozy and not think about leaving until tomorrow. Well, to do that, you need a beautiful, comfortable bed. And the best way to have a great bed is to buy a MyPillow brand pillow. I urge you to buy a MyPillow brand pillow tonight. Yeah, you can do it tonight. Call 800-844-0876. You may have priced a MyPillow brand pillow because you've been fascinated about them for a long time. And then you said, oh, it's too much. Not anymore. You call 800-844-0876. You say, my name, Walter. And the price will go from $69.99 to $19.99. That's right, $20 for a MyPillow brand pillow made in the USA, filled with patented magical material, comfortable as heck and washable, plus a 10-year warranty. Your car, your marriage doesn't have a 10-year warranty, but now your pillow will. And it's so comfortable. Oh my gosh, it holds its shape and it stays cool all night. everything you've always imagined in a pillow you get with the MyPillow brand pillow. Now, when you call them, say, Walter, that's how the price goes from $69.99 to $19.99. That is a special offer for Midnight Misfits. You and me. Finally, somebody has done something just for us. A MyPillow brand pillow. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. The great thing about the MyPillow brand people is they have people there right now. There's somebody there right now who's looking forward to talking to you. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them. Tell them, Walter, the price goes from $69.99 to $19.99.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ron Papillo.
And the pocket fisherman's handle is its own mini tackle box.
Sterling at night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Okay, so we had this epic snowstorm last Saturday and Saturday night. And it was all along the East Coast and northeast into New England. But did it actually fit the definition of a blizzard? Well, to qualify as a blizzard, we have to have wind speeds of at least 35 miles per hour. Visibility in blowing snow has to be a quarter of a mile or less. And the duration of the storm has to be at least 3 hours. Well, we've got yes on all three criteria. We had blizzard conditions all the way from Bangor and Portland, Maine, south to Boston, all the way to Connecticut, west to Albany, New York, south through New York City, and into Philadelphia and Delaware. Yes, it was quite a storm, but at least we can look forward to slightly warmer than normal temperatures for the rest of the month. More details on that coming up in the next 15 minutes. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather in just 15 minutes, right here, only on Sterling at Night.
Cassie in Collingswood, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi, Walter. I love your show, but I'm calling about the situation with your daughter. And I just have a couple questions. Does she have a cell phone?
Yes.
And has she contacted you or your wife to say, I'm going to be late?
She will answer the question, when will you be home? So we'll text her and say, when will you be home? And she'll say, my friends will bring me home. Or I'll say, do you want me to pick you up now? No, my friends will bring me home soon. It's always elusive and vague.
Well, that shows that she has control of the situation. She knows what the rules are, and she's willfully disregarding them. And you're actually being weak by posing the question like that. If it were my daughter, I would actually call the boys home and ask the parents if she's there, that you're worried because she's late coming home. And then I would go to the home and I would tell her you're outside and pick her up. She's only 16. You know, her hormones are raging. If you give them an inch, they'll take a yard. Kids, they need certain rules to follow, and she's not following them. And you don't want her to be 20 and doing worse. She's a good girl, but any kid that's given that kind of freedom will take it, and there's no repercussions besides doing that kind of embarrassing her with the parents. And then you're letting the parents know, too, that you have rules for your daughter. And I would have the boy come over, and I would talk to him. You know what you were like when you were 16 as a boy?
I was a loser. These were non-issues when I was 16. My idea of foreplay with a girl when I was 16 was 4 hours of begging. So it was a little different.
If you weren't a loser, you would have a girl out as long as she would stay out with you. So you want the boy to know that you're the father, you have concerns for your daughter, and you're not going to let him go against your rules also.
I have done the trick. You're right. I have done the trick of going to the house, which is only two blocks away, and sitting there and calling her and saying, I'm outside. Come outside now. And that worked. However, your other suggestions about being in touch with him and being in touch with his parents is what I'm going to do this week. That is, you're absolutely right. That is what I'm going to do. And Cassie, I will report back to you next Sunday.
Great. Good luck, Walter.
And good luck to you. Thank you for listening to my show. Why do you like the show? We killed her. It just killed her. The question was like, she was too embarrassed to even admit that she listened to the show. But I asked the question not for my ego, but because we use that audio in promos. And the promos are aired on giant stations like KMOX, KFBK, KDKA, around the country. And they put them in. And the three daughters, and there's an irony, the three daughters radio stations run by Gary Burns, who has turned out to be a great friend. Thank you, Gary. Now, I am fascinated by this story. I continue to be fascinated by this story. I would wake up with her hand in my pants. With her hand in my pants, said this TikTok star, Jack Wright. He accuses influencer Sienna May of sexually assaulting him four times, once by groping him when he was passed out. She says he is slut-shaming her. Well, now this genius, Jack Wright, has put up a video on YouTube called What Sienna May Did to Me. And it's a, like, 64-minute video. And he explains in detail what Sienna May allegedly did to him. I don't believe it. He was passed out, I guess drunk. They were at a big party. She jumped on top of him and sexually assaulted him. I don't believe that in that dynamic, he's a big, strong, hunky guy. I don't believe that any woman could do anything to him unless she had a weapon and a lot of friends. I think this is nonsense. You know, the story about can a woman rape a guy? That's not what this is being accused of. But can a woman rape a guy? The answer is no. And the power dynamic in a sexual assault situation is always in control of the man. And it's nothing that I'm proud of, but that's a fact. But this is some story where this TikTok guy, this 18-year-old guy, big, strong guy, he's saying, I would wake up to her hand in my pants. Jack Wright accuses influencer Sienna May of sexually assaulting him four times. And she says he's slut-shaming her. In the video, released Friday, claimed Gomez got on top of me, took advantage of me, groped me while he was unconscious at a party in, the best part, Hawaii. The video of the alleged assault was shared online. Gomez denied the allegations with her representatives calling the claims fictitious and an act of slander. Now, I'm impressed that at 18, she has representatives, plural. She's 18 and she has representatives. When I was 18, I would not have known where to get representatives. Now, I grew up in New Jersey. I knew where to get muscle. But I would not have known where to get representatives. I have an email address. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every single email I get gets answered. We have a spectacular website, Walter Sterling Show, where you can find out all the information about Florida stories, how they're made, how they're collected, where you can make donations to our show. No, creative ideas, not money. I don't need your money. Keep your money.